Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
1, 2, 3. It's a Hard Knicks Live. It is a Hard Knicks Live. A Hard Knicks Live. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Live.
Being drafted wasn't special enough. Yep, that's right. Point to that hat one more time. You are coming home. Why is it so important to you to be putting on that jersey?
I'm from New York. That's why it's important. Me repping my city is, it's amazing. A lot of people pray to be in this position. I'm not gonna take it for granted. I promise you that.
What up, Knicks fans, and what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
And good day to Jay, also known as Blanderson Hooper.
Good day to you, Craig.
And Jay, I have to wish you my condolences for the death in your family, which is very sad. I don't know how you're here tonight, but Jay is a warrior and has made it for this big show.
That's right. That's right, I have. I need a little positivity in my life and happiness, so why I would turn to talking about the Knicks for that, I don't know.
Well, we're here for you, Jay.
I'll tell you why. Because this is the one podcast that makes a difference in your life.
It's very true. Very true.
It makes you feel better, happier, lighter, sexier. Barry, why is your shirt on? I thought we were going topless for topping tonight.
Yeah, I had second thoughts about it.
Well, thank God. Jay, this might make you feel good.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yo, first time caller. I love you guys' show. Motherfucking Jay, that's my new dude, man. You funny as shit. For real.
How's that, Jay?
I like that. I like that. It brings a little smile to my heart.
Then we got this one. This is also a good one.
Craig, Barry, Jay. This is DB, a longtime listener. I know a lot of people say that Barry is their favorite. I was listening to Hard Knicks Life before Barry was even on Hard Knicks Life when it was just Craig. And I got to tell you, the reason that you've got the best podcast, not just Knicks podcast, but podcast in general, is the editing. And I know what it is, and I know the work that goes into it. That's why Craig is my favorite. I'm sorry to say.
Guy's got fucking creepy clippings of you all over his bedroom.
But did you hear he said he's sorry to say? Why would he be sorry to say that you're his favorite? He knows that that's not a popular opinion. Right.
Well, it was kind of sad that it's not because he likes me. He just likes that I do the show, basically. Jay, from here on, you got to keep score on this, all right? You're going to keep the score on the favorite. So Jay's got 1 point, one for Craig, and Barry's at zero. How's that feel, Barry?
Okay.
Starting now? Starting now.
Starting now. That's right.
I better pick up my game, gain some new fans.
All right, guys. If you like our show, if you listen to it, please leave us some ratings and reviews wherever you listen. If you've been listening for a long time and you still haven't hit that 5 stars button or left a review, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Just fucking do it already. I know you haven't done it. So get on there and do it. It is right now just after 10 p.m. It's 10:20. Free agency opened up 4 hours ago. A lot is happening as we speak. A lot of players have signed with teams. Not much has happened for the Knicks yet. We have signed Alec Burks to a 1-year, $6 million deal. We'll talk about all that later. We've got Blanderson Hooper here. As always, he's going to be breaking the news for us the entire show. We haven't had a chance to talk to you about the draft yet. We're talking that. We're going to start with that. But first, we got to tell you a little bit something about betonline.ag. Barry, did you do any bets for the draft?
I was so close. I actually put a couple of bets like in my cart, so to speak, and I decided against it. And good thing I did, because I was like so close to betting that Denny Avdija would go number 4. And he didn't come close to going that high as a pick. And then I was looking, I think I sent you this. I was looking at these prop bets they had for draft night. It was the funniest thing. You could have bet on, because they knew all like these guys are going to be at home or wherever. So you can bet if there was going to be more or less than three dogs in the first round, or more or less than two cats in the first round, like in the background of the Zoom call. You can bet if you would see pizza in any of the Zoom calls.
That was on betonline.ag?
That was on betonline. You can bet $100 or $200, as much as you want. You could bet if there would be any players that had more than 10 people in a room, which there were plenty, by the way. So there was a lot of fun bets on there. I wussed out. I did not place any bets, but I was going to do the Denny one. I was going to do the Cole Anthony one, which I would have won.
What was the Cole Anthony one? Did you say that?
I think they had him at 21, and I bet that he would go under 21, which I would have won.
If you want to place bets like the ones Barry was just talking about, go to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Guys, that draft on Wednesday night, I don't know about you, but I was looking forward to that more than any NBA draft I've seen ever. I was waiting all day for it when it was coming up. I parked myself right in front of the TV like 10 minutes before it started. I stood for, I think, half of the first round. I stood.
Really?
Prancing around my living room, dancing,
prancing?
Nervous.
Wow.
Like just doing weird shit. I had so much adrenaline flowing through me. I don't know why. I think I was just excited to have, I'm excited about the Leon Rose World Wide West, the new front office.
Was there a guy though that you were really like really hoping for that the Knicks would pick? And I'm curious, like, you know, leading up to their pick when there were still guys on the board, and then ultimately when you knew who was picked through seven.
So that's why I was excited, because earlier that day, obviously, you know, we always had the 8 pick. And we had the 27, right? And then we moved up to 23 from 27. And then there were rumors all day about, you know, how they were possibly getting the 23rd pick to package it with the 8 to possibly move up to 5 or 6.
Right. And the name you were hearing was Toppin, even at that time.
The name you were hearing was moving up for Toppin. But you also were like, I really wanted LaMelo Ball, as you know.
Right. And that was
And
on
I
the
was
table.
Also wondering, like, okay, this is Leon Rose. Does anyone really know what he's planning? So maybe he's going to move up to, maybe LaMelo could fall to 5. I don't know. Maybe they can strike a deal and move up to 2 somehow. Maybe right. At the last minute, they're going to decide, all right, fuck it. Let's trade the 8, 23, and Mitch to move up to 2. Or, right. You know, one of those deals. So I was excited because I was honestly hoping for LaMelo. And just to see what Leon did. You know how these drafts work when it starts rolling. It just starts going so fast. And before you knew it, Edwards was 1. And you're getting the notifications from Shams and Woj like 3 minutes before it's even happening.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. That kind of ruins it.
It does ruin it, but you have to, you know what? It's honestly the only way to follow. It's not like you could ignore it because the guys on ESPN, if you just watched the ESPN, you'd be lost. Lost. You'd be lost. It was a mess. So then, like, all of a sudden, Wiseman goes to the Warriors, right? And then before you know it, LaMelo's gone to Charlotte, and there was no trade, nothing. Barry, were you hoping for LaMelo too, right?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, yes, but I knew that was a long shot. You know, it didn't really seem like anything was going to gain any type of traction for the Warriors to give up that number 2 pick, and it seemed like the Knicks have been ultimately conservative in that they didn't want to give away too much. You know, if anything, they've, you know, been trying to acquire picks, you know, which we saw later on. So I knew that was a long shot. I was just curious to see how the picks were going to shake up. I was surprised at the 4th pick. You know, Patrick Williams was a guy that his name started to emerge the last few weeks, but I really didn't expect him to go that high. And then once that happened, you know, it just left all these other guys open on the table.
Yeah, and were you as excited as I was during this draft, or was it just
no,
like a typical
I
draft?
Was, I was very relaxed, Craig. I was laying in bed, my wife next to me, she was on her iPad, and I was watching. You know, I was basically on Twitter. She was getting annoyed like you, Jay, that I would know who Adam Silver was going to announce before he did it. It was frustrating her, but I was pretty relaxed.
I was getting annoyed with Shams and Woj, not that you were getting that pick a few minutes before, but you started to go, they started to get like 2 or 3 picks ahead.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Of what was going
crazy.
On.
But the reason I wasn't nervous was because I didn't, and I said this going into draft day, I really didn't think there was any miss that the Knicks could make. I feel like those guys, you know, really like there were about 10 draft picks in that range that I felt you could make a case for and really not mess up. So I wasn't going to come out of this particular draft upset or mad or disappointed. And I didn't.
Right. So Williams went four, right? Okoro went five, which I think, I'm sure, like me, I was surprised. We never really heard five. We thought maybe he'd go to the Knicks in that range.
Right.
Okongwu. Then Hayes went seven right before our pick. And honestly, at that point, part of me was impressed and excited that Toppin fell to us. I don't think anyone expected him to fall all the way to eight. During the day, when there were reports that the Knicks might package the 23rd and eight to move up for Toppin, fans were upset about that, right? Because why would you give up assets, give up the 23rd or even more than that to move up for Toppin? But when he pretty much fell to eight, you knew that the Knicks were going to take him.
Right. Having that knowledge, you know, right, ahead of time, you pretty much knew that that's the direction they were going to go.
And then you got to start like changing your mindset a little bit, because he was someone that I don't think we took that seriously as a possibility for us at eight ever, really.
Yeah, it seemed like he was going to go higher. You know, there was a lot of mocks out there that had him up higher. There was a lot of mocks and experts that were saying, you know, this is a guy that could potentially win Rookie of the Year. He's a playmaker. He's a difference maker. A team may jump on him, you know, in the top five. And that's really where they saw him. So, I mean, I'm happy with the pick. You got a chance to hear him, you know, through the tears and through the cries. But, I mean, he was doing a ton of interviews that night. And then you really learned about the kid, you know, a New York bred kid, you know, grew up a Knicks fan, wants to be a Knick. And I mean, just from listening to him talk, you hear what a high character guy that he is. And I mean, it's so much easier to get behind a kid like that, to root for somebody like that. And, you know, I mean, he put up tons of numbers. I know, you know, we know the big knock on him and his defense and how awful it was. And I know when we looked at his highlights, that was the big thing that we said. It's like, whoa, you know, it's really bad. You know, as good as his offensive stuff, his defense is really bad. But
I remember when we talked about his highlights, when I watched his offensive highlights, I fell in love. I fell in love with him. I was madly in love. And then you saw his defense, you're like, ugh.
Right. Exactly. But you know, the fact that he doesn't shy away from that weakness and he talks about it and he's eager to improve upon it. And just even the type of play, as flashy as he was in college, he shared the ball. You know, he looked to make his teammates better. You know, I'm happy about the pick. And, you know, obviously you hope it doesn't come to bite you in the ass with one of these other guys stepping up. But I mean, that's the risk you take in any draft.
Jay, how did you feel about that? How were you during the draft? How did you feel about that pick? I know that, who did you really want when we were going through all the players?
I don't think I really want. I thought they were going to take Devin Vassell.
Yeah,
ultimately. I mean, I didn't really necessarily have somebody that I wanted so badly. Listen, his defense is an issue. I know they kept talking about his age. I mean, how many times did you see how he's older than Knox and RJ and Frank and Mitch, right? I mean, everybody, all the articles, they kept talking about that. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's a little bit of an issue, but he's 22. It's not like he's like a 28-year-old. It's like, come on.
First of all, the Knicks fans, it was split, right? There were a lot of fans who were happy. I was happy. I was happy that he fell to us. He is probably the safest draft pick we've made in many years.
Right. And what is wrong about a safe draft pick, right?
Like, he's not a project. He can step in here and do what he was doing in college right here.
You know, I understand, you know, you want to swing for the fences, hope you grab that guy with a high ceiling. Drafts don't come around all the time. You get one draft a year. You're lucky to be in the lottery. Thank you, Leon, for going with a safe pick. And again, if he doesn't turn out to be like this defensive anchor, which we're not looking for him to be an anchor, we want him to be competent, right? Which, again, it's yet to be seen. But I mean, this is a guy with the numbers that most likely he's going to put up. And let's say he does win that Rookie of the Year and it does nothing for the Knicks. You still have an asset at that point that you could turn around at the end of his rookie deal or before the end of his rookie deal in a trade. You know, so a safe pick, I think, is a win, a huge win for the Knicks.
And honestly, we gotta forget about 22. What's wrong with being 22?
Nothing.
I mean, we're not talking about an old man. And I think, Craig, I think you're the one, I think you tweeted that out, that, you know, in a shortened season like this, where there's going to be the quick turnaround, a guy who's a little bit more seasoned might be more prepared to jump right in and take care of business right away, rather than somebody, you know, think about James Wiseman with his three college basketball games, and that's it. You know, Obi Toppin obviously has a lot under his belt, and it would probably be a lot easier for him to jump in and with that quick turnaround than it might be for some of these other guys.
Yeah, there's no summer league. He is already super confident, aggressive. He's nasty on the court. He's going to be able to step right in, I think. And yeah, like you said, Jay, 22 years old. Frank is 22. All right, so what difference does it make? He's 10 times better than Frank is right now, and Frank's been in the league for 3 years. All right, so it doesn't make any difference, really. You could take a project who, if you're lucky, will be at Obi Toppin's ability level when he's 22, or you can take Obi Toppin at 22 years old, who's already at that level. What difference does the age make?
Right, and the other thing I like to, you know, age aside or what have you, is the fact that he's a sophomore, the fact that Quickly is a sophomore, and they didn't go after these freshmen. Because, I mean, you're coming off of a shortened season in college, no NCAA tourney, right? You were able to see at that point how these guys progressed from their freshman year to their sophomore year, how they developed, you know, how they're projecting. In most cases, they're going to be more mature. So I like the common thread among those picks from that aspect. And then, you know, to go on to the to Miles Powell, who they signed, you know, who went undrafted, the fact that he's a senior, you know, so they're not getting like these, you know, these green guys that are, you know, had these shortened freshman careers where they're just guessing where they're going to go. So, you know, they took as best an educated guess as you can have with as much information they were granted. And I think they came out of this draft good. I give them high grades for this draft.
Yeah, and part of me is disappointed. I'm 90% happy, but I'm 10% disappointed about, because I've been waiting for that point guard for so long, just like any Knicks fan. So I understand that some fans might have been like, oh, do we really need a power forward on this team? Honestly, I don't know who everyone who's disappointed in Toppin wanted to get at that point. Killian was gone. LaMelo was gone. Tyrese Halliburton was left.
And was it really this sure thing point guard that was going to turn your franchise around? You talk about the Knicks like the one hole. I understand we need a point guard, and we have for years. But you talk about it like that's the one hole that the Knicks have that they need to fill.
We still do. 5 hours into free agency here. I mean, Barry, you love Tyrese. So did a little part of you, I mean, you wanted Tyrese at eight this entire past couple months. When he was there, you knew we were taking Toppin.
Yeah.
Was part of you sad we weren't going after Halliburton?
I would rather have Halliburton over Toppin. I just feel like he would do more for us. But I'm not upset about Toppin. I'm not going back, you know, I'm looking ahead. I'm taking Obi. Look, we welcome you with open arms. You're a Nick. Okay, I'm not going to go back on it. At that point, though, yeah, I've said it on this show. I thought Halliburton is going to give more to his team.
You know, here's what I think happens with Knicks fans, and maybe just fans in general. Even us, we spent 2 months watching highlights of all the players, and every week we would say who our favorite was. You know, we just sort of like fell in love with certain players based off of a bunch of highlights we watched. And then when they pick someone that wasn't really on your radar, wasn't part of the group of guys that you became enamored with, you know, I think a lot of Knicks fans have trouble letting go of that, when the reality is none of you know what you're talking about. I'm not going to sit here and claim that we do. I fell in love with guys like LaMelo, Halliburton, Okoro, Vassell. But if Leon Rose and Worldwide West think that Obi Toppin is the best talent at eight, you have to put a little faith in those guys over your own, what you came to like over the past 2 months. I did love Halliburton, but I have to think that Obi Toppin is better right now and is a much safer pick. And I'd rather have Toppin than Halliburton.
Yeah, and then look, Halliburton sat on the couch for pick 9 and pick 10 and pick 11, right? What did he end up going?
Yeah, I mean, Avdija, Jalen Smith, Vassell, all went before Halliburton after Toppin.
Can I just throw in one thing really quick that hasn't been said?
Well, you sure you don't want to say something that has been said?
Yeah, I'm positive. I don't want to repeat something that's already been said. And I threw this out there multiple times that night, and I got no response, and I'm not really sure why I got no response.
Jay, let me ask you a question.
But
about Twitter lately, it seems like it's been getting you down.
Twitter?
Yeah. Are you're saying right now that you tweeted things out and didn't get a response, or you said it to us?
No, no, you.
Oh, you said it to us. Okay.
Yeah. No. I think twice.
Jay lately hasn't Jay been like, nobody even hears me. I've got like no followers.
Well, because I've got no followers. It's all right. I mean, you know.
What's the point of me tweeting anything?
Yeah. It feels like you're about to cut your Twitter life short.
No, I texted the two of you about the young lady sitting next to Tyrese.
I've started retweeting stuff that Jay does just because I feel bad.
Listen, but yes, the young lady that was seated next to Tyrese Halliburton on the couch, is that his girlfriend? Is that his sister?
That's his girlfriend.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen photos of her before that moment.
I'm just curious. No reason.
That's what you want to bring up.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been nice to have her on the sidelines. Like when Jeff Hornacek's daughter was, you know, out there rooting for the team. Yeah.
That made a big difference.
You know?
Yeah. I would say a tiny sliver of me before we picked Hoppin was, I swear I was, when I was dancing around in my living room. And I was like, I don't know. Should we do Avdija? Should we do Avdija? I mean, people think he's going to be like the next Luka, you know? Even though I know nothing about Denny Avdija, or however you say his name.
Yes, you
We've
do.
We've seen
you know
the highlights.
A little,
yeah, a little bit. We've seen the highlights, but he could easily be a bust.
Oh, absolutely. Know?
If we had drafted Avdija, could you imagine the backlash from that? And I guarantee you, probably never pans out. Most of those guys never pan out.
And he'll be like the next Darko Milicic.
I mean, if he's the next Luka, we'll be kicking ourselves. But I still believe we got a very safe pick in Obi. He's going to come in. He's going to be, unless we make some trade for Russell Westbrook, I think he might be our best offensive player in his rookie year. And he's got all the tools to do that. He's aggressive. He's fearless getting to the rim. He's got a great post game. He does shoot from the outside and he can hit threes. He's a great team player. He's not selfish at all. He passes. He has high IQ. His defense sucks, but he's going to learn from one of the best defensive coaches, right?
Yes.
And if he's playing alongside Mitch, there's obviously going to be Mitch there to help support him in some way.
And he
those
wants
two
to be
guys
here.
Together, it's going to be interesting. It's different. I don't know if they complement each other that well. But whoever is playing point, to have those two guys who can set picks and roll, and you can just throw it up there. I mean, to have two guys like that in the lineup, I think is going to be interesting. It opens up a lot of possibilities.
Craig, if you were to bet right now, if the starting point guard for game one of this season, which is just over a month away, is on the Knicks roster right now or not,
Jay, has any breaking news come through yet?
No. I've got...
You're going to ignore my question.
No, I've got Woj open on one device and Shams on another, and I got nothing.
No, I just want to make sure we haven't signed some like DJ Augustine.
Oh,
or something.
Right.
No, nothing.
No,
nothing big.
There's no new
not trying to
yet.
Avoid your question.
Okay, no. So right now at, what is it, 10:42 p.m.
I do
Friday.
Not think, I don't think the starting point guard is on our roster.
Really? Oh,
okay, so that was my question.
I really don't.
Okay. Huh.
I really don't see them starting Frank. I mean, I think that if it is, it would be Frank.
Over DSJ.
Yeah. But I don't think that player's on our roster right now.
Okay.
What do you think?
I tend to agree with you.
I think they're going to trade for someone. Are they going to try and swing a deal for Conley? Are they going to somehow give in and trade for Westbrook at some point? There's enough. Could they sign Rondo? There's enough point guards out there where I just don't believe that Thibodeau's going in to the season with Frank or DSJ as the starting point
guard. I agree. I think they're looking at Frank. I think they like Frank. And I think they're looking at him to come off the bench, but I think they're looking at him in either role, you know, point or shooting guard.
At the two or three, I think, for Frank.
Oh, or even at the three.
Yeah.
And I think they got DSJ, who they're comfortable with coming off the bench. I think you're right. I think the biggest either free agent or trade that they're going to make to come in, I think you're right, is going to be the point this year. And I'm not saying it's going to be a big name that's going to shatter anybody, but it's probably going to be a level above Ntilikina and DSJ.
All right, but let's move on, right? So we drafted Toppin, and then we had the 23rd pick to look forward to, which kept me off of my seat for a while too, because I was excited about that one.
Right, because there was still a lot of familiar names on the board that had not been drafted.
A lot. And we still wanted, I mean, I still wanted a point guard, and there were still names that I was excited about that kept not getting picked, you know? Who was up there that we liked for point guards? RJ Hampton was a possibility at that spot. Tyrell Terry.
Was Malachi Flynn still there?
Malachi Flynn, absolutely. And then there were shooters like Desmond Bane. You know, so you were getting excited. You're like, holy shit, at 23, we're going to get one of these guys that we really do like as a potential point guard. Right? I was so excited. There was, that Nico Mannion, who didn't go till way late.
Yeah, not till close to 50.
But there was a lot of possibilities there at 23.
And then the pick came.
And this is amongst just chaos, right? The whole draft is chaos. You got you're getting tweets from Woj and Shams announcing picks, 2-3 picks ahead. Woj isn't allowed to say that someone is selecting someone, so he's got to be really weird about it, right?
You get these like little like highlighted things in the corner of the screen that say it's a proposed trade to this team.
Right.
The pick belongs to this team.
But the ESPN guys don't know what's going on. So they're announcing picks and not saying there was a trade. Yeah.
Shams already told us who the team picked, and they're guessing who it's going to be, and they're like way off.
And then David Silver walks up to the podium with the 23rd pick, the New York Knicks select. And we're like, all right, which point guard are we going to get? Which shooter? We know who they're taking. I was like, they got to be taking. I was like, it's got to be RJ. I want RJ Hampton or Tyrell Terry. I wanted one of those two. Leandro Bolmaro.
Right.
And I was just like, what the fuck is happening right now? All of Knicks' Twitter went crazy.
Right. I remember watching that guy.
I was like, oh, and then they went to him and I was like, oh, he does look tall. I started like trying to sell myself into the pick, you know?
Right. I remember we were talking about how he moved like Luka when we watched him play.
I honestly didn't even remember his highlights. I was just in shock. I was like, did they really just pick him over a point? We need a fucking point guard. And then all of a sudden, Shams or Woj, it doesn't matter. They're interchangeable pretty much. I think it was Shams announces that pick was for someone else and the Knicks traded down to 25 and he got the 33rd pick. And I think we all breathed a collective sigh of relief. Right, Jay? Were you excited about Bolmaro?
No, I was not.
Okay,
no.
just checking.
It did, just that whole moving 38 and 27 to move up to 23 and then using 23 to move back to 25 and 33.
But fucking amazing, though.
Listen, you got to move up two spots in the first round and five spots in the second.
For nothing.
It was really weird.
Still on the board, though.
I know. It was weird, though.
We were saying that day, why would they trade those two for 23, right? Early in the day. And we're like, well, it's probably to package it. Maybe they really love somebody. And like, why not wait till that night? But the fact that so many guys were still on the board, they would have never been able to make that trade that night, the way it was shaping out with so many, I'm not going to call them studs because they're not studs, but with so many guys that were still mocked higher, still left in play, that wouldn't have happened. So the fact that they were able to turn those two picks into higher picks for nothing was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it was honestly a nice change of pace for me because I'm so used to the Knicks front office just not being active and not looking like they're thinking in that way. And so, yeah, for them to have the 23rd pick and realize like, hey, the guy we want, you know, we can get it two picks later. Let's get an extra pick at 33. So they did that. And it made sense at the time. You're like, oh, that's great. We just have to get, you know, Bolmaro went at 23. We still have RJ Hampton at that point. He actually went 24th. But at that point, we had RJ Hampton. We had Tyrell Terry. We had Desmond Bane. All these guys that we all really like still there. And we just had to get by one pick. So we knew one of those guys was going to be there at 25. So to get 25 and 33 just by moving back, really one pick because you knew who was being taken at 23 is a great deal. And then we got to 25 and we're like, all right, we just lost RJ Hampton. I was like, fuck, maybe we should have taken him at 23. Whatever. Tyrell Terry's still there. Bane is still there. Malachi Flynn is still there. Nico Mannion is still there. We could still get a point guard or a shooter. And then the pick comes in and we take a player that we did not talk about once
not
on this fucking show. Because he was projected to go originally about 10 round? Picks into the second round. And they pick Emmanuel Quickly out of Kentucky. And again, I was like, what? Tyrell Terry? I really wanted Tyrell Terry. But then you start looking at, you start checking him out. Because we didn't really check him out much. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know much about him. SEC Player of the Year. Start watching his highlights. His shot is exactly what they need.
Yeah. Right?
43% shooter. He plays with so much energy and confidence out there and is supposedly a great team guy and is great for the locker room. Honestly, watching highlights of him after that, I was super excited. I would have loved some of these other point guards, but I think he's going to be a great fit.
Yeah, and a guy that tracked really well from his freshman year to his sophomore year, and what's to say, wise to say, he's not going to track the next few years and get better and better. Supposedly a hard worker, you know, great work ethic.
And obviously very connected to Kenny Payne. So Kenny Payne obviously knows him well. I'm sure that had something to do with it. I don't know if, you know, Tyrese Maxey went 21. So I was actually curious if they were hoping that Maxey would be there at 23 to take him. And then when he wasn't, they took their next guy up that they really liked Quickly at 25. But of course you got, you know, Knicks fans. There's so many Knicks fans that are so negative. It really drives me a little crazy. But of course, you have Knicks fans who are like, oh my God, they could have gotten him at 33. Why would they waste pick 25 on him? Which I find absolutely ridiculous.
Especially in the way the draft was going, when you had so many surprises from multiple teams. You don't know who was going to be there later.
I don't know who the fuck is getting picked whenever. It doesn't matter what the tankathon mock draft said that he was going to go 40 means. If one team other than you likes him at the end of that first round, you might not get him. So if you really like him, you just have to take him.
By the way, can I throw a little vocabulary your way?
What's a strange question? Yeah. But yes. So,
like Emmanuel Quickly. Do you know what a euonym is?
A euonym?
Yeah.
That's not that thing where it's spelled the same forward and backward.
No, that's a palindrome.
Right.
No, a euonym is when your name actually describes the person or the object really, really well.
Like Blandy.
Pretty much, yeah. Or like Usain Bolt's last name being Bolt and him being the fastest man in the world. So Emmanuel Quickly, who's that's got super speed. It's a euonym. Yeah.
And is he known to have super speed? Is that true?
He's known to have, good speed. He's a traditional point guard, 6'3", 188, you know?
I am curious about that because I have heard that he can play the point, but he was playing really shooting guard.
He's still a little tiny to be a shooting guard. He'd need to put on some weight for that.
I think at Kentucky, Tyrese, him, just there were a few people that could handle the ball and run the point. So there wasn't really a true point. I don't think he spent much of his time playing point. I mean, I like the pick, right? He was not on our radar, but after watching him, I think he's going to be great, a great fit. And then we still had one more pick at 33. And you were like, okay, let's go after one of these point guards again. Still some guys left out there. Then at 33, we picked this Daniel Oturu guy, another guy that I don't know. And then I started watching his highlights. And before you know it, again, we dealt him for for two future second round picks in the year 2023, right? Which my head was spinning at that point, guys. I think even when we picked Quickly, the ESPN announcers were saying it was for another team, right? Weren't they? And I wasn't even confident that that he was ours.
Oh, it was very confusing.
I was so confused. But we got Oturu, and then immediately we traded him. We have 11 picks in the next 3 years now.
That's nice.
And I think we have, I'm not sure, but I think we have 6 picks in 2023.
Look at us. Look at the Knicks.
2 first-round picks and 4 second-round picks. And that is the year, supposedly, of this double draft. Have you guys heard that term?
Yes.
The double draft, which is just, it's basically going to be double the high-end talent because
with the high school
of all
players?
The high school kids are going to be allowed to come into the NBA that year. I don't think we're planning on drafting half a team in one draft, so I assume that they were just collecting assets to be part of other deals.
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
That way we can still trade 3, 4, 5 picks and still have a shit ton of picks in our pocket, which is what good teams do, right?
Absolutely.
Leon and Wes are are squeezing out picks everywhere they can.
Look, there's a game.
Because that's how you gather them.
There's a game that's played on the court, and there's a game that's played in your front office. And, you know, until that jump ball goes off, Leon Rose and Worldwide West and Walt Perrin and Brock Waller, they're doing the best they can to run with the ball in that front office and do exactly what you're saying. Draft the best talent they see, acquire as many picks that they can. Don't make dumb deals that lock you in long term, that pigeonhole you, and keep your eye on the prize and on the future.
All right, breaking news, guys. Woj is reporting that Marcus Morris is re-signing with the Clippers for 4 years and $64 million.
Craig, do you give a shit?
Not really. I'm just happy that he didn't sign that contract with us. So,
do you remember when he left and everybody was like, oh, we could re-sign him, let him go, and you know, we get picks, and then we'll just re-sign him next year?
Yeah, let's,
he was great for us.
I'm actually very surprised because he was not that great for LA.
No, but remember, they're also...
No, look, Craig,
if
when you come from the Knicks...
If Montrez is leaving for the Lakers.
There's no, I'm sorry, Jay. When you come from the Knicks and there's no talent surrounding you and you can step up your game, but then you get launched into the Clippers who have Kawhi and Paul George and Lou Will and all these guys, yeah, your game's going to suffer a little bit. And then when you try to outshine those guys, you look like a fucking tool because you're the fifth guy in the, you know, you're the fourth guy or the fifth guy. You're not
right,
the
but
one
how
or
is he,
two.
How is he getting all that money?
Montrezl Harrell's going to the Lakers.
So, right, they desperately needed him.
Yeah, they did need to fill that for sure after Montrezl.
They need to do something about that.
We are being very conservative right now. But guys, Clarkson Avenue crumb cakes. Mm. Let's talk about those. They are delicious.
Let's do that.
They are changing the crumb cake game. There's some big flavors that have made a comeback. Kitty's Carrot Crumb Cake, Campfire Crumb Cake, Caramel Apple Crumb. They are back for the rest of the year. Jay, I've seen some photos that you've taken of some delicious crumb cakes that you've ordered.
I tweeted those out, like one after another after another.
I like that people were calling you out on Twitter. Like, I thought you were full of shit just for the ad, but now I really believe you.
That's real.
That pumpkin, that great pumpkin got here last Friday night, and by Sunday morning, it was gone. It was absolutely, it was just completely gone.
It was everything then, you dreamed it would be?
Oh, my God. It was...
And then some?
It was spectacular. From the crumbs to the, just how delicious the cake itself was to the chocolate chips.
What did you eat that with? Like a milk or a coffee?
Coffee. I had that with my coffee. And then tonight over at my parents', I was going to town on the apple crumb with my son and my dad.
Did your dad like him? I know he's a big crumb cake fan.
He's a big crumb cake guy. We ate about half of that tonight.
Has he ever had anything like that? Like a crumb cake that was anything but a regular crumb cake?
I don't believe so. No, usually it's just a traditional crumb.
So is he like thrown back by it? Like
he really enjoyed it because he's a big apple guy too, like an apple pie, oh, apple wow. turnover kind of person. So now
that's
I'm
nice.
Just waiting. We froze the, we got the chocolate raspberry. Eventually we'll have to crack that open and then I'll be back to tell everybody about that one at some point.
Craig, tell them where they could go and how they can save 23%.
It's like, let's fucking
let's
end
get
this.
Out of this.
Hey.
Okay. all right, guys, you can go to clarksonavcrumb.com. Use promo code HardKnicksLife for 23% off your order.
Yeah, you can. That's what I did.
All right, so right now we're 5 hours into free agency.
Knicks, one of the teams with the most cap space in the NBA.
Yes.
Second highest.
And Jay, some roster moves were made yesterday. Give us a rundown before we get into free agency.
Number of players were waived. Taj Gibson was waived. That's $10 million off the books there. Alfred Payton was waived. Kenny Wooten was waived.
Which is sad. That's sad.
Was waived as well. Dotson was not given a qualifying order offer, so he's now an unrestricted free agent. And then the team options for both Bobby Portis and Theo Pinson were declined. Now, truthfully, any one of those guys can come back, but clearly if the Knicks are to bring them back, it would be at a much reduced price.
Right. None of them have been signed yet 5 hours in,
right.
So it is possible. And then we also signed undrafted rookie out of Seton Hall.
Big East Player of the Year.
Big East Player of the Year, Miles Powell, who I know, Barry, you really like him.
Well, it's not that I really like him. He's another undrafted guy that...
Before the show, you were really excited about him. He's got a great shot. He's athletic kid, right? What position is he, a two?
I mean, he's only 6'2", I think, or 6'3". if I remember right.
He's pretty big, right? He's a stocky.
He's
kid.
A guard, but he's big. Yeah, they actually said that. I think when he first got to Seton Hall, he was a little out of shape, but he worked his ass off. So another hard worker, you know, lifted up his game. He's another guy. He's a competent 3-point shooter. You know, hovers right around 38%. So hey, mate, you might have something there too. You know, you never know.
We don't know what he's going to be, but you got a Big East Player of the Year, SEC Player of the Year, and you got the National College Player
yeah,
of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is it to say that? That's what you came out of 2020 with, you know, going into your 2021 season through the draft and through your signing. That's pretty cool.
And so free agency has been going for 5 hours. There's a lot of talk all day. I was getting excited about a lot of different things over the past couple of days. Excited about the possibilities of hearing about Gordon Hayward.
Did that excite you?
Listen, I'll be honest, for several hours, I was excited about the possibility of Westbrook and Hayward joining RJ Toppin and Mitch. To me, that would be a very exciting lineup. And Gordon Hayward, yeah, does he excite me? I think it would excite me. I mean, he's a solid player.
He's
a really good player.
Getting Utah Hayward, I would be excited. You know, it's hard to get excited over the Hayward that we saw over the course of the last 3 years.
Well, he had a good season last year. He had a good last season.
He scored 17, 18 points a game last year. I mean, he seemed to be back to where he was before, you know, the injury in that first game he played as a Celtic.
But listen, we're 5 hours in. Rumor is he's going to somehow get to Indiana via sign and trade.
Right.
Has there been any news since we got on this recording about that?
Not about that. Nothing new there. In terms of, it seems like Boston's haggling over who they might want to get back in return.
So I think we're trying to catch up on what's happened since we've been recording, but a lot of guys are off the board. Bertans is off the board.
Right,
Christian
the big names
Wood.
We were talking about, right, yeah. Jeremy Grant, Joe Harris.
Danilo Gallinari.
Right, he was another one that people floated that idea.
Goran Dragic, who is a potential point guard option.
Jordan Clarkson.
Beyond those guys, honestly, a lot of names are off the board too, but I don't think they were ever on our radar. These contracts that are being thrown around tonight are massive.
Which
right?
is weird because, you know, we talked about the fact that the league had lost so much money and how there were a lot of teams that were going to sit stuff out because, you know, they just don't have the cash to throw around. And as of right now, it seems like they're throwing around a ton of cash.
Yeah, before the draft and even the past couple months, Bertans was one of the guys I really wanted. But after we drafted Toppin, I honestly didn't see a spot for him on the team. I mean, possibly he could come off the bench as a four that can stretch the floor. And obviously he's a great 3-point shooter, but there wasn't as much of a need for him. And he got 5 years, $80 million.
That's a lot of money.
I couldn't imagine committing 5 years to Bertans based off of a couple good seasons, right? Maybe one good season. Joe Harris got 4 years, $75 million from Brooklyn. Jeremy Grant, 3 years at 60.
Yeah.
With Detroit, Gallinari, 3 years, $61.5 million or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Montrezl Harrell's going to Lakers. The Lakers are getting somehow significantly better over this past week. They got Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
They got
Montrezl that's not supposed
Harrell.
To happen. You're not supposed
Matthews.
To come off
Wesley
a title.
Matthews. How are they doing this? Where are they getting all this cash?
I don't know. The fact that you're reloading up after coming off that title and only losing Dwight Howard and Rajon Rondo?
Westbrook is still on the Rockets. James Harden is still on the Rockets. Gordon Hayward has not been signed or signed and traded yet.
Listen, there's still people out there for
the
Knicks.
Yeah, there is. The Knicks had $40 million in money to spend. And so far, just over 5 hours in, we have signed shooting guard Alec Burks to a 1-year, $6 million deal, which I think for a lot of Knicks fans, they laugh at that. Fans just want to make a big splash, but there's not a big splash to be made here. And they're basically I'm assuming they're going to fill the team out with 1-year deals with players that they think are solid players.
Right.
Alec Burks is one of those guys.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that they're laying down. Last year, the Knicks laid down. Even with the signings that they made, they laid down last year. The signings were smart. They left the Knicks with control over the roster and the bulk of the contracts. The names were just big enough that we said, okay, they're doing something, you know, with Randall and with Morris, with Payton, with Gibson, and they're not going to throw trash onto the court. But, you know, they knew it wasn't going to do anything to make the playoffs. They hoped it was going to help advance and develop the youth, the young guys. But essentially, what they were doing was running in place.
It was a collection of random talent that they just spent money.
Exactly. Right. They spent money to stay in the same place while hoping to lift up the youth. But I can tell you this, Tom Thibodeau is not going to lay down. Leon Rose is not going to lay down.
You guys can't see this, but Barry is wagging his finger.
That's right. The question is, are they going to go heavy into this season, or are they going to keep their sights set on 2021, where the free agency pool is going to be filled with bigger and better talent? The draft is going to have bigger and better talent. So are they going to keep their sights set on that and just do, you know, a little bit to move themselves forward a little bit? And again, going into this new season where you have this new playoff scenario where, you know, the 9th and 10th place team can actually play themselves into the playoffs, the Knicks could have their eyes set on that. You know, I don't think they're going to tank. And again, the guys I mentioned between Rose and Thibodeau, I don't think they have a tanking mentality. And Thibodeau didn't come in here to tank, not even in year one. But they may play it safe. So don't look for a big splash. Don't look to grab a Westbrook this year if they have their sights set to next year. They may take baby steps this year, which is fine. You know, you can't be upset with that. And I think Knicks fans will appreciate what they do if it is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, so last year it felt like you were saying that the front office spent money. They had the money. They had these decent, solid free agents that were interested in coming for short contracts, and they took them up on them. As everyone jokes around the entire world, we got a lot of players at the same position, right? Portis, Taj, Randall, Morris. Spent a lot of money on these guys. They're all quality players, right? They didn't necessarily fit together. They weren't really a part of the future. Were they even there to teach the young guys? I don't know. I'm getting the feeling, and I could be wrong, but I would not be surprised if this year, I don't think we're going to spend money just for the sake of spending money. I don't think they're going to mind coming out of tonight with just signing Alec Burks, or the next few days of not signing anyone else. They could still try to maintain some of their cap space in order to look other directions. Maybe there's no one in free agency they really want. They can still use that money in trades over the next couple of weeks. They can still try and get a player from another team who's making a lot of money, and they can absorb that money. They don't need to spend this money tonight or tomorrow. And I don't know if they will.
I wouldn't be shocked if they re-sign Taj.
I wouldn't either, obviously, as he's a Thibodeau guy. I think he's the one guy. He's the one guy out of that group they might re-sign. I don't think they would re-sign. I don't know if they're going to re-sign Dotson.
No, I don't think so. Especially not, you know, with Quickly that they just drafted.
Exactly.
Gibson was making just under 10.3.
Yeah, and I think he deserves that. That's right about where he should be.
Right, but if they're going to bring him back, yeah, it's going to be for less. They're not going to give him they're not going to give him the same.
You're saying there'll be less.
He was at 10.3 and they waived him. So if they bring him back, it's gonna be a few million dollars less, or else they would have just kept him at that price to begin with.
You know, they might have just cut him loose because they don't know how much money they're gonna need to absorb some contract they're trying to get or some trade they're trying to make. And you could say to Taj, you know, let's see how the next few days go. Then we'll sign. They might re-sign him at the same. They might have just wanted to maintain some flexibility here, you know?
Right. And Van Vliet is still on the table.
Although he's going to want barely. A lot of money.
Barely. I mean, supposedly...
A lot of money.
Supposedly, he's meeting with multiple teams. Is that Saturday? Is that right? Is that what I heard? Or
I think,
now?
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it seems like, from everything you hear, that he's just going to go back to Toronto. I don't know that I want to sign Van Vliet to a long-term max-type deal.
Yeah, and that's exactly. I mean, he's come out publicly and said it. That's what he's looking for. He's looking to get paid.
He wants big money, he said.
I don't know that he's the right fit, although we do desperately need somebody.
No, I don't think he's the one to run the team.
I read someone threw out there, like, could we trade Randall and Knox and something else for, like, a Mike Conley? So will we? I think we may look into options like that. Is Lonzo Ball available? Because New Orleans now has this glut of point guards. And they just added Kira Lewis Jr. in this draft.
Can I go on record? Because I just want to go on record. I'm not in support of the Lonzo deal.
You're not in support of Alonzo. He would be a big upgrade from anything we have.
I understand.
And he still has a lot of potential. Before the pause and the return, he was having a great season.
Yeah, no, he stepped it up. You know, he definitely stepped it up from where he was.
I would take him in a heartbeat. I would.
Okay.
I would trade a Knox for him.
Oh, well, I would trade Knox for him.
Yeah, right.
But it's going to take more than that.
You think it would take, how much more do you think it would take for Lonzo Ball?
I mean, how much more than Knox
and a couple second round picks or even more than that?
I don't know. I wonder if they'd want a first round pick for him.
I'm assuming they would. He's their starting point guard.
Yeah.
Well, get the fuck out of here. You can't get a Knicks first round pick for Lonzo Ball. you want a lottery pick for Lonzo Ball? Maybe if the Knicks can, maybe a Dallas pick, you give him. Guys, what do you think actually happens? Let's talk about, we don't know what the roster is going to be exactly. We don't know if we're going to try and move Julius Randle. But what does the Obi Toppin draft do to Julius? Because we're all like, I'm automatically penciling Toppin as this, at the starting four. But Julius, he's not coming off the bench for this team.
No, if he's still on this team, there's no way.
What's Toppin coming off the bench? You can't play. Can you be starting Mitch, Randle, and Toppin? And RJ at a point? Is that a lineup that can go out there?
Look, if you had to, you could definitely start RJ at the two. What, you're going to start Toppin at the three? I guess it's possible.
It's possible he can play the three, yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's like Randall's like the square peg in our round holes here.
I mean, Randle, Toppin, and Mitch, I think it would be a mess.
Everything's pointing to Randle being trade bait.
But what if he's not traded? You cannot not start Toppin and Mitch and RJ.
Yeah, Toppin's got to start.
He's too developed to be coming off the bench in his rookie year. He could potentially be rookie of the year next year. I would not be shocked. I just think development-wise, he's that far ahead of most of the other guys in the draft.
It's a big lineup. It's a tall lineup. If you're trotting out RJ, Toppin, Randle, and Mitch, that's a tall lineup.
I honestly don't think that's not possible. But it is a concern. I don't know what you do between Randle and Toppin.
I don't like it.
And I don't like Randle off the bench. I just feel like that's not going to be, he's going to be pissed. He's not going to be happy. It's just not going to work. I don't know if they're going to buy him out if they can't trade him. He's only got this year left.
Yeah, no, there's definitely more of a chance. There's more of a chance Obi's going to come off the bench than Julius if it comes down to the, you know, one of the two of them. But then it also comes down to who are you starting at the two and the three? RJ's going to start, but then who's that last man? You're going to start Reggie Bullock?
I mean, RJ's going to start the three, Toppin at the four, Mitch at the five. And
yeah, that's why there are still a lot of deals to be made, because there's no way that Thibodeau is going to look at this roster and say that he's comfortable with where it's at. There's going to be free agency moves and there's going to be trades.
No, you need a shooter to be starting at the two. I don't know if that's what Alec Burks will be doing.
No. He's never been a
quickly,
starter.
Quickly, I would just be surprised that he would be our starting two to start the season.
No.
So, yeah, is our one or two even on this team? I guess you could start Frank at one of those positions.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this team isn't done. Look, they made plenty of moves just, you know, going into the draft and on draft night. Free agency's been open for 5 hours now. There's going to be moves.
All right, guys, you want to hear some post-draft voicemails, see what everyone thought?
Sure.
Guys, check these out.
Hey, guys, this is John from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hope you guys are all doing well.
This is Blandy's number one fan.
Yeah, that's the guy, right?
Yes.
I'm really excited about the draft. I think Toppin instantaneously is the best player on our offense, or offensively is our best player. And I'm really excited to see what the Knicks go forward. I think with all the cap space they cleared with all the guys that they just cut, I'm really excited to see what they do. And I think this is going to be a really fun team to watch next year, even if we're terrible. But hope you guys are all doing well.
All right, John, excited about Obi Toppin.
Fun team the Knicks are putting together.
What's up, Hard Knicks Life? This is Devin from Long Island. And first off, I want to say thank you guys for all the great content always. As a Knicks fan, you keep me, and I can speak for everyone else. I could say you keep us entertained through very trying times. And with the draft and drafting Obi and having a solid three of young core being RJ, Obi Toppin, and Mitch, my question was, where do you guys see the fill-ins for our point guard and small forward positions? There's a lot of talk that Fred VanVleet is the guy at point guard. But honestly, I'm not sold on how much we might have to pay him, because other teams might be paying him a lot more. But that's really the only option I see at point guard. There's not many point guard free agents available unless we trade for one. And there's also talks of Gordon Hayward and Carmelo Anthony, both going to the Knicks. And out of those two, let me know what you guys would prefer. I think I'm more pushing towards a Gordon Hayward, just because of he has a lot to prove, and I think he's a really good team player. Melo, he's been here. The last time he was here, things were not great. Now he's, I don't know, 4 years older. The only thing that's a plus for Carmelo is that he's taken a back seat, and that's something he's never done in his career. Anyway, that's really all I wanted to let out there. Thank you guys again, and have a great season.
So, you know, as far as Fred VanVleet, I don't really want him on the Knicks. I'm impressed with him. I have been the last 2 years watching him. When I watch Toronto play, constantly, I'm like, wow. And I'm, you know, amazed at things that he does on the court, whether it's, you know, hitting back-to-back-to-back three-pointers or cutting through the lane. He looks like a midget out there. And can I say that? Am I allowed to say that word? He looks like a little person out there on the court.
I'm leaving that shit in, Barry.
That's not good.
I don't care. We got to knock you Barry down.
We're born in the, we're
born
80s
in the 90s,
kids.
Dude. It's a hard Knicks life. I'm sorry, Jay.
So he cuts through the lane and he somehow, you know, weaves in and out and makes these magical layups. I'm impressed by him. I still don't want him on this team. I don't know if the last 2 years were a fluke or what. Okay, he's built himself quite a resume going into his contract year. It's a free agency, but I don't want him on the Knicks. And as for a small forward...
Hold on, you gonna let anyone else talk, Barry? I mean...
Go ahead, Fred VanVleet, go!
Barry's the only one that matters in this show. No, I mean, I agree. I agree. I think gun to my head, Fred VanVleet for max money, I just say no. But he's the kind of guy that if we somehow signed him, I would not be devastated. I mean, we do need a point guard very badly. He's available. He's the best point guard on the market. I wouldn't be devastated, but my preference is to not sign a player like him to a max deal. I just feel like you could regret that. And in a couple of years, you're going to be wanting him off your roster. He's going to be eating up too much space. As far as the small forwards, Barry...
You go first on this one.
You know, I mean, I think I've said in this show, I like Gordon Hayward. Hayward versus Melo. I am also not a fan of retreading these players we've already had on the team. Some people wanted Danilo Gallinari before he signed with Atlanta tonight. I love Danilo. One of my favorite Knicks ever. I'm just not that interested in seeing guys who were on the team and it didn't work out that great and have them coming back at the end of their careers. I'm not into it. I'm not into Melo unless we thought we were going to be, you know, a top 4 or 5 seed in the East and he want to come along for the ride. I don't see the point of him joining this team.
Right. I'm kind of on board with you there. You know, I always pictured if Carmelo came back, it was because there was a star that came in front of him and then he came to be like another piece. I don't see anybody following him to this team. In other words, if we were to sign Carmelo, you know, as many friends as he has in the league, I don't think anybody's going to tag along to him. And therefore, I don't think it's best for this team. you know what I mean?
Yeah. Jay, you like either of them or?
Oh, I'd much rather have Gordon Hayward than Carmelo Anthony, without a doubt.
That's all you need to say.
Hey guys, it's Brody from Melbourne, Australia. I just want to say, I can't believe Obi Toppin dropped to us at number 8.
Oh my God, this
listen
accent
to the excitement.
Is incredible.
Where are all the Obi haters? I don't get it. They're all over Twitter. Where are they?
It sounded like he was going to fucking cry.
Or come.
Listen to this. He's so happy.
I was thinking we have to trade for the Cleveland pick to get him. And he dropped to us. Oh, I'm over the moon, man. Watching the draft, was jumping up and down. I was absolutely stoked.
This is the happiest Knicks fan I've ever fucking heard, by the way.
It's bizarre. I love it.
Dude, Brody, why are you so happy? I mean, even though you're happy that Obi dropped us, you should still be fucking miserable. But all right, let's go.
Leon Rose, man, I'm so happy. Like, we're finally in some good hands, and we're seeing good signs. All the trades he's doing. Ed Davis is now stacking up some picks for the 2023 draft. even though they're the second rounders, but like that draft is going to be stacked, because that's like when you can draft like the high school players and stuff. And just, we're finally in some good hands, guys, and I'm feeling good about the Knicks for once. I'm liking it. I'm hoping we get Westbrook in the next few days. That's what I really want. Westbrook and Gordon Hayward. If we can get Hayward for like not a massive contract, that's the ideal plan in my eyes. Just want to say, guys, I'm a huge fan. Love you guys' podcast. I listen to it almost every time I'm at work. Keep up the great work. I was like, good shit on the news, Blandy. I'm loving it. Bye, guys.
All right, I don't think you're his favorite, but...
Does that count?
I don't think no. That counts as a point.
Oh, come on.
He was complimentary to the whole Mikey. Show.
What a great, happy Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Well, of course amazing. He's happy. Look, he's looking at the rest of the world that's, dealing with this fucking COVID nonsense since his country's got it locked down. You know, they know what the fuck they're doing over there.
I get the feeling that everyone in Australia is like this, by the way.
Yeah.
They're, like, surfing all day, right? And...
wrestling crocodiles.
But seriously, where are all the Obi haters, Craig? There's no negative Obi voicemails, huh?
Nope, not one.
Great.
All right, you hear that music. It's everyone's favorite part of the show. It is the news with the newsman himself, the blandest of them all, Blanderson Hooper.
All right, so Klay Thompson tore his Achilles and, you know, what
so
looked like was
that.
Going... Well, no, I'm not happy.
Sounds
but what
like
looked
are.
Like was going to be a big bounce back year for the... for the Warriors clearly is not going to be what everybody was expecting it to be.
Well, let's not pretend like they didn't just draft James Wiseman and already have Draymond Green, have Steph Curry, have a good team. I mean...
Yeah, listen, I mean, obviously...
It's not like they're going into the season empty-handed.
No, it's not like last year without Steph and Klay, but losing Klay Thompson is a big deal, clearly. Although, again, they did draft Wiseman and... if you're following the reports, it looks like they're very close to adding Kelly Oubre from OKC.
Did you see how much that's going to cost them?
About $14.5 million, I think it said.
That's how much they're paying him. But did you see how much it's going to cost them?
Oh, what, on the luxury? Because they're over the luxury tax?
Yes. Signing him to $14.4 million will increase their taxes by... increase their taxes, what they already are, by $68 million, which
holy
means
shit.
To sign Kelly, you're paying $82 million for Kelly Oubre for one season.
Why would they do that?
In terms of trades and free agency, I don't know if you guys saw the deal with Sacramento and Milwaukee for Bogdan Bogdanovich, which fell through. Right? Everybody was talking
How
about...
How the hell did that happen?
I don't know. It's
they agreed to a sign and trade, right? And then... Bogdan, how do you say it? Bogdan?
I think it's Bogdan. Bogdan?
Boggy basically said, like, nobody talks to me about this or something.
Pretty much.
How the fuck
And now not
does
only did
end?
It fall through, but now the league's investigating. Because of tampering and the idea that Milwaukee was talking to him before they were technically allowed to start talking to him.
Talking to who?
To Bogdanovich.
But Bogdanovich never agreed to go there and the teams agreed to the sign and trade?
It's confusing. I mean, I know that everybody was talking about, you know, Drew Holiday and then Bogdan and then putting that, you know, them with Giannis, and now you know Giannis is going to sign that max deal, and now everything kind of just gets thrown up in the air. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
I mean, he's a guy I'd love to have on the Knicks, Bogdanovich.
Yeah, a lot of people would.
The Raptors, we've talked a couple of times about where the Raptors were going to play because they can't play in Toronto because of COVID protocols and quarantining. They announced that they will begin the season playing in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, to think that they were going to play in Newark. why would they play in Newark when they could play in Tampa?
And then the only other thing I've got is Barry mentioned this before, there's going to be the play-in round before the playoffs next year, where basically you could be the 10th team in the league and you have the ability to make it into the playoffs. Finalizing the 7th and the 8th playoff spots, there'll be a play-in tournament middle of May. That'll include teams 7 through 10, and it'll give them the ability to, you know, team as low as 10, the ability to get into one of those final two playoff spots. And that's the way the basketball bounces.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's show. You can reach out to us. It's a hardnickslife at gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at hardnickslife. You can follow Barry at Barry Dworkin. But you have to follow Jay at Blandy Hooper. He needs you more than ever.
Spell it, Craig. Spell it for the listeners.
We'll spell it out. It's the at sign and then a BLANDYHOOPER. Is that right, Blandy?
Yes, that is correct. And what I will say is that there will be a lot more basketball content moving forward because of the change in the political atmosphere of this country.
You're already making people not want to follow you.
Yeah, like, what am I getting into here?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, what have you been tweeting about?
Politics, but now things have gone to a different, you know, we're going a different direction. So
you're like,
I'm going to
be a better person.
I'm going to be able to concentrate more on basketball stuff and, you know, those kinds of things.
Well, great. Well, if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what will. If you like our show, please go leave us some 5-star ratings, leave us some positive reviews wherever you listen, and you can call us, as always.
That's right. You want to share your takes on the latest Knicks news? Share it with Hard Knicks Life at 516-33-MESH-1, and you will be featured on our next episode.
You will be, guaranteed. And I want to apologize if this comes out and you're listening to us and, you know, we're behind on any news, but we did this live during the first, now, 6 hours of free agency. So there's probably going to be some shit that comes out after we finish editing this show. That's just going to be, it is what it is. And everyone will just have to deal with it. You guys have any plans for Thanksgiving? Are you seeing any family? Or we're not supposed to see family.
I know.
Right? I'm not doing anything. We're just staying at home. We might just do a virtual thing with family, but yeah, we're not going to my parents or anything.
My parents were going to come up from Florida, but they decided not to. My mother-in-law is coming up from Alabama.
Oh boy, Barry's mother-in-law is a fucking is a piece of work too. Am I allowed to say that?
What does that mean?
She sends you the dieting videos and she's kind of like
Republican
politically
videos
crazy.
And. Yeah, conspiracy theory videos.
No. So what's she up to now?
Well, her husband can't come with her because he works with military, and if you're a part of the military, you have to stay within 50 miles of your base, so he can't come right now. So she's coming. So she told my wife today that you know, she doesn't want to get a COVID test before she comes because I guess Jordana had mentioned she was nervous and, you know, about people coming. Even though we're not having a lot of people, it's just my mother-in-law, maybe my brother-in-law from Boston, and my sister. So it's like right at that 10 people number.
Yeah.
So anyway, she said she doesn't want to get a COVID test because in case she gets a false positive, then she won't be able to come.
What? What if that's the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard?
Yeah.
So she'd rather just take the chance of being positive and not knowing?
Exactly. And I don't want her to get a test here because even if she contracted something, let's say, on the way here, like, it wouldn't show up anyway. She should just get it there. But she, you know, is big on these conspiracy theories. She thinks that, like, you know, the numbers that we're seeing aren't real. You know, she still believes all that stuff.
So she's walking around, by the way, but she's also, then she's not being that safe right now.
She can't. There's no way she is. So I said to Jeanette, well, if she gets a false positive, let her get a second test then somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If she exactly.
That's what you do.
So Jordana called her back, convinced her to go ahead and get one. But I was like, good luck with that conversation.
Is she going to provide you with evidence that she actually did?
You're going to better see those test results.
I don't know. Is it a law yet? Like, if you're coming out of a state like that, like, don't you have to get one even just to travel?
I don't know.
I thought you have to, like, you got to quarantine yourself when you get here or something.
Well, she will, but at our house.
Yeah, with all of you.
Yeah.
All right, well, have fun with that, Barry.
Yeah, I would, Barry, I'd ask for proof.
I do not trust your mother-in-law, and I've never even met her. All right, guys. Until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.